Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show. It's like a special edition, I guess, or I may use this as 251. Who the hell knows? I am Chris, not joined by any of my regulars.
We killed all of them.
Did none of them see the movie? I was concerned when
Fozzie saw it on Friday. He saw it, I guess, opening day. But Jeff and Tony have not. So
the fuck are they doing?
Maybe. Jeff, delivering mail. I don't know.
Tony has two kids?
Yeah, two little kids, too.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if it was two or three.
Yeah, like two small children. But I am here with Pete.
What's up?
Earl.
Howdy.
And Justin.
Bonjour.
We're going to talk about the Avengers.
The
Avengers Age of Ultron, I believe is the official title.
By the way, thanks to the How Old Machine, we figured out how old he is. The answer is 40.
Yeah, I did see
or
that.
Or 1, yeah. Or 2,000.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, 2,000 came up?
Yeah.
Well, he was only born yesterday. But...
this is, what, the 11th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yes.
I just tried to count on my hands.
The 11th film in 7 years.
It's a lot of movies.
It is a lot of movies.
What were you going to say, Earl?
I was going to say, so you're getting more ambitious from here, because I think they're going up to 2 or 3 a year after this.
Yeah.
I think
there's two next year, I think, and then again, it gets a little bit nutso. But yeah, let's kind of jump into this. So this picks up, I guess, after the events of Captain America.
Yeah, it's like I think they said it's in like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. And I guess I don't really know where Guardians fits in here.
I think Guardians is just like it happens like during the other Phase 2.
Well, it happened beforehand because we saw it happened.
Sometime
after Thor 2.
Right.
Yeah, because he mentions that the 4 gems are in play, and the I don't know how he would know about the one in Guardians, though.
Yeah, that was...
Well, it was part of his odd. Vision. Yeah, the vision... Can we just... No.
Yeah, I don't know how far we want to jump around. In terms of timeline, because at the ending scene of Thor 2, they went to the Collector, and his thing was all still put together and stuff, and he was like, I only have one gem.
Just like, one so, down.
I assume that Guardians takes place sometime after Thor 2, but before Avengers 2, but otherwise I can't tell you if it takes place during, before, or after Captain America.
I guess it really doesn't matter much, though, does it?
I would also say that it has to take place. Guardians has to take place after Captain America because of the teaser at the end of this film would imply that Guardians took place for Thanos to show up.
That's a good point.
True.
So maybe they take place like roughly around the same time as each other? Or Guardians takes place like kind of near the end of Avengers 2?
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme, it doesn't really matter when Guardians take place because it's so isolated from everything else.
Right.
True.
And they haven't been as tight with the continuity as they were with Phase 1. Where Phase 1, it was like Iron Man, and then like 6 months after Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, and Thor all took place within a week of each other.
That must have been one crazy ass week.
The Barry was so crazy, no idea I was paying attention because nobody mentioned it in any of the other films.
I mean, that had to have sucked for the West Coast. It's like you get like, you know, thunderstorms going down and a building exploding in New Mexico, then you've got Iron Man blowing up theaters and stuff. And then
well,
there's
Hulk
the Hulk
took place in New York.
Hulk's wrecking Harlem on the other side of the country. This is why it's good to live in the Midwest, because you guys deal with all that shit first. When the aliens come, you're all gonna die, but we'll have like 2 weeks to prepare.
I mean in this film at least we didn't get that because they decided to destroy a section of a country. But I guess
it's just a castle. And also, I guess, the surrounding town.
Yeah, but that's jumping... I mean, we've pretty much already spoiled the teaser and the ending.
Going all the way to the end.
Yeah. I suppose we should say we are going to spoil the entire movie, right?
Yeah.
I think that kind of goes without saying.
We're going to spoil the hell out of this movie.
If you have not seen Age of Ultron, you should have probably already shut this off. So.
Yeah.
Now,
the more interesting thing, and I suppose that maybe the first Avengers was like this as well, that like if you didn't see the prior film, like the one that took place like right before it, mm-hmm. a lot may not make sense to you.
See, I was kind of torn on that because somebody said this to me and it kind of makes sense. And it's logistically and semantically correct, but Avengers 2 feels like a sequel to The Avengers. Like, you don't necessarily need to see Phase 2 films to understand it. Like, the biggest thing you need to understand is all you the beginning, and that Hydra was part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And then after that, it's completely unrelated to the other Phase 2 films.
Cap 2 is kind of really important to, you know, how setting up the Avengers 2. But yeah, I don't really know like where the rest of that all fits in.
I feel like Iron Man 3, events wise only serves the one line that Tony says about Pepper running a company because she took over AIM.
Right.
I think.
Well, no, she runs Stark's industry from Iron Man 2.
Oh, okay.
She's been running it for quite a while now.
But the movie I think serves. At least to, like, inform his character decision to do what he did mm-hmm. here. Like, between Avengers, you know, there was Avengers where he did the whole thing in space, Iron Man 3 where he was suffering PTSD from that, and I think that PTSD, while he recovered from it a great deal in the movie, that fear and stuff is what played into his the eventual.
Sure, let's move on to Tony, let's stick with him for a second here, because I've read multiple things, and I didn't rewatch Iron Man 3, so my
I've memory seen of it once and once was enough. Let me tell you,
I enjoyed Iron Man 3, but
I enjoyed it a lot.
But did he I am no longer Iron Man at the end of that?
He specifically says, I am Iron Man. Okay.
Yeah, it was him being like, I don't need to build all these doomsday
suits. Yeah, it was
because
a symbolic gesture.
Because I'm comfortable with who I am.
Was the confusing part, though, because he does build up all of his suits at the end.
Yeah.
And the assumption is that he's not going to he's not going to waste his time building all of them.
Okay.
And then you get to this film, and he's like, oh, yeah, I have an army of suits now.
Yeah, that's what I, like...
Oh, it's not really an army of suits. It's more like an army of drones, and he's just got, the two suits.
That's what I meant. An actual army of suits. It's suits that he... this is my big problem with Tony's arc in this film, is that, this whole thing about him trying to create armor around the world, create artificial intelligence... wasn't something that was ever brought up in Iron Man 3. I feel like if that was introduced in Iron Man 3, it would have made more sense to pay off here. Instead, you said he was dealing with PTSD, and the whole end was him coming to terms that he doesn't need to be Iron Man. And then it's like, oh yeah, I'm building AI. Where did that come from?
A lot of things in this movie, out of thin air.
He'd already built the AI before, so it just makes sense that he would want to build a better version of that.
Yeah,
because he built Jarvis, and it was kind of hinted at in Iron Man 3, where it's like Jarvis is becoming bigger than what he could have predicted.
Sure.
Yeah.
I only wanted to question that because I've read multiple reviews that kind of questioned where the hell he came from, because they took it as he kind of retired at the end of Iron Man 3, and...
He's there! Yeah.
I mean, part of that, I can understand the confusion, because if I'm not mistaken, and I did just watch Iron Man 3 recently, I believe, because all of the Phase 2 films, I think Phase 1 also, it's like, so-and-so will return in Avengers Age of Ultron, and I think instead of saying Iron Man, it said Tony Stark would return in Avengers Age of Ultron, and people probably took that to mean that Iron Man was retired, but he does say, I am Iron Man at the end of 3.
Well, the funny thing is that, at the end of this movie, if you don't know that Civil War is a thing, he almost does the exact same thing at the end of Avengers, where he's just I'm bowing out. That's it. I'm done.
Just
peace.
You know what? I'm done with this.
And we'll get back to set up for Civil War, because I have some issues with the way they're kind of handling it, but...
Did you guys see the promo art? That was pretty cool.
Oh, that was so cool.
But so the movie just kicks off with this like bombastic action scene.
Mm-hmm.
Can I touch on this real quick?
Yeah,
do
go ahead.
Watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep,
I do.
Okay, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. led into this with the whole
the toolbox.
Yes, the toolbox, and they were responsible for giving the event. They gave Maria Hill the directions to give the Avengers, and I'm like, okay, whatever. It's a way to tie the show in. But what drove me nuts is like the show ties in directly with this, but at no point do they mention throughout season two that the Avengers are busting up Hydra bases. And I'm like,
they probably don't know that.
But they have to have known. How do you not know that?
Well, it's not exactly like the Avengers advertise themselves and take selfies on Instagram and be like, okay, we're about to go bust up a Hydra base.
But the entire point of the first half.
I can see Tony doing that.
The entire point of the first half of season two is that S.H.I.E.L.D. is chasing Hydra. How do you not know when Hydra bases are being destroyed then?
Well, they might have been overseas. I mean, considering the resources they had in the show, I mean, this is getting way, way off track. but, like, I don't know. That's again, one of those suspension of belief things where, like, they can't cover every base.
Yeah.
If they did, the show would be filled with them just checking, with continuity check marks instead of adding the actual story.
Yeah. And it never sounds like they actually talk to people associated with the Avengers like Hill or Fury all that often. It sounds only like just once every couple months thing.
Yeah, but even still, you would think that somebody taking down, like, it doesn't sound like this is their first Hydra, like, they already say we've been taking them down for months. You would think that, oh, somebody's helping us out. Somebody took down this Hydra base or something. Somebody got here before us. Like, I'm not saying you have to have the Avengers show up, but, like, mentioning it in passing. Because this opening does kind of come out of nowhere, because at no point do you get the idea that the Avengers are going to chase down Hydra at the end of Captain America.
No, but there are a couple lines in the beginning of the movie saying that, like, they've been doing it mostly to search for the scepter, it sounds like. At least that's Thor's motivation, for sure. He doesn't really care about Hydra so much as...
Yeah, he's just like, I need this thing out. I need this thing in my hands, because otherwise you guys are going to fuck everything up again.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody brought up a really good point about that scepter that we can get to when we talk about the end of the movie. Hopefully I'll remember that point by then. But did you want to get back to Tony specifically, Chris?
No, the opening there. I don't know,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool looking.
It was cool. I think and this is on me, really. And I didn't realize that they were wearing Chitauri armor. That was kind of cool. Like they were.
Yeah, it took me a while to pick up on that, too.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because they were retrofitting. Like, you know, they get into the base, they find the giant space worm and all that other stuff. So they were retrofitting that technology. But that was a really neat thing. That's why they were so kind of they had powers and stuff was because they were wearing like retrofitted Chitauri armor.
Like that, they sort of like show how these people have like. Come together over the months, because there's that one part where Cap and Thor are talking about like the enhanced and stuff, and then Thor just like brings up his hammer and Cap lets him hit it, and it just like wipes out everybody on the field.
Yeah, there was definitely a better sense of like teamwork on the field than there was in the first, where like these guys kind of knew how to work with each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're storming the shield base, this Hydra base, and. You know, hiding out inside it are two characters who I'm not really sure if they were needed or not. Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch.
I was going to say Baron Strucker. I was about to say he had... like, it was like, he was literally like, oh, we have this guy running around. We have to do something with him. Mm-hmm. We'll put him in a scene and then kill him off screen.
Yeah, like there was... lots of weird things like that in this movie. But.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing, and I didn't even notice this until somebody pointed it out. The funny thing with Peach, Pedro, and Wanda are in the comic books, they're Magneto's kids, which they obviously can't do. So it is ironic that of all the groups you set them up with, you put them with Nazis.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing. I always took it as, like, they were just, like, Hydra's evil, but they were so angry at... Tony for what he did to their family that they were just like, yeah, I don't care. And were willing to partner themselves up because Hydra promised them, it's like, you will get to kill Iron Man.
I guess.
And I think that will come to inform a great deal of what happens in Civil War with Scarlet Witch. for sure, because, like, even though they all kind of came together at the end of the film to defeat Ultron, I have no doubt that...
She was alone, and she's angry.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, not only that, but so much as, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, she's cool with Tony Stark. I mean, in the end, this is still... The whole movie is still his fault.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that, but I was curious, while we're on Wanda, what exactly was her power set? Because
telekinesis and mental manipulation.
Okay.
I mean, what's her name comes out and says it, right, Maria Hill?
Yeah.
She says she's weird.
Like, yeah, but then she also explains it's just like she can manipulate people's minds and like show them projections or something. And then she just breaks it down. It's like, he's fast, she's weird.
Well, yeah, but that's because I got that at the start. She was able to, but she had to be close to them. And then later on in the film, she was able to read their minds.
Yeah, so mental manipulation required. Well, she's probably already set up the link. Afterwards, she just like go nuts on him.
And then she's also able to like break mind control.
Yeah, because she was nearby.
And, like, yeah, I guess that because like during the action scene, she had to literally sneak up on the Avengers to get there to get that advantage. And then like she's doing it from across the room later on with the scientists.
They were right next to each other.
Yeah.
They weren't next to each other, but...
They were, like, 2 feet from each other, dude.
I feel like you're debating semantics here.
Oh, it's not... It probably is, but... Because she had to do it without Ultron seeing, I guess, is what I'm saying, because the other ones, she was pretty close to them. But, yeah, it's semantics. It's just really, like, she shows some people their fears, and then she can read their minds, and then she can break out of mind control, and she can see the future.
And then see the future.
I never said she could see the future.
No, I mean, I thought that's what she got with Ultron. That's why she turned on him.
No, she saw his plan.
Yeah, she saw the mind gem.
And what he intended to do with it. That wasn't, like, necessarily what was going to happen. It was just like, oh, hey, this is what Ultron wants to do with it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I
can accept that.
Actually, like how they played her up in the beginning of the film, where she's kind of like a horror movie character, where she does, like, that sort of, like, fast jump around the environment. And has, like, the glowing eyes. That was pretty cool. I wish they did more of that.
She's basically, like, a magic character, though, right? Like,
yeah, basically.
It's like a catch-all, do whatever she pretty much wants.
Yeah, like, in the comics, she can manipulate reality and probability and shit, but that would obviously break the film, so they just, like, broke it down to its basic form.
It breaks the comics, too.
Well, yeah, the no more mutants.
There
are no more mutants.
There's the opening of the film and stuff. And the opening of the film, like, I guess the more important stuff besides the introduction of the twins, like Chris said, is, like, when Iron Man kind of goes down into the base, and there's all the stuff from Avengers in there. You know, there's the Leviathans and the robots that they were working on, and then, you know, there's the scepter, right? And
yep.
Right before he takes it, that's when Scarlet Witch messes with his head, mm-hmm. shows him all the dead Avengers and stuff.
Yep. And the aliens come in through the portal. Then Pietro tries to stop him, and then he's just like, you shouldn't let him take it, but she's just like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Well, it's like, yeah, let him take just see what happens. Like, trust me, it'll be so much better this way.
Well, like, and then Thor just being like, sure, yeah, you can examine it. Like, it was a little weird.
Well, I think, like...
You can play with it.
Well, that was the part that I don't think he... thought Tony was going to do, and that's obviously why they didn't tell the team at first.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, you can like study it and learn from it, because I mean, that's what Jane's doing, that's what Selvig is doing, they're all learning from the alien stuff, and, you know, they need to be prepared for when the next invasion comes. I don't think he intended for Tony to create a mass murdering robot out of it. Like,
yeah.
Well, to be fair, Tony didn't intend to create a mass murder and robot.
Yeah, he was just like, I want to see how this thing works and maybe apply it to my technology. And also, by the way, it kind of went all Terminator and decides to wipe out
humanity. But he didn't like Bruce Banner like before he was kind of convinced like this might not be the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and while Tony may not have like intended for a mass murdering robot to be created, he was kind of a dick about it like mm-hmm. after it happened.
Yeah, he's just like, this is really funny, isn't this funny to you guys?
Yeah. Bruce Banner's like, maybe not when I've created a giant, like, murdering robot.
It's like, technically we didn't. It created itself. And he just reminds us to be like, Earth is the end game. That's why I did what I did. So he kind of tries to weakly justify it.
And I love the fact that He then tries it again right away once he can. I mean, granted, it creates a Vision the second time, but I'm like,
that one was weird. I wish it was more of like Vision trying, or of Jarvis convincing him, be like, I need you to do this for me, please. Than it was him just being outright like, you be like, we need to do this for Jarvis.
So Ultron shows up after the party, and
well, I was going to say the party was actually my favorite scene in the film.
It was pretty good. There was a lot of good character moments in there. Mm-hmm. I liked how they kind of, you know, the whole scene with the hammer, which I guess had already kind of leaked out there.
During S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, months ago.
Marvel has shown that several. It's actually one of the. It was a scene they first showed at Comic-Con last year.
Okay. I mean, I thought that was like kind of this fun scene though, with nice nods to the comics. Mm-hmm. You know, when, like, Steve touches it, it kind of shifts just a bit. And
mm-hmm. Thor's facial reaction is the sweetest.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, what the?
Like, the most crestfallen look of, like, I'm going to lose this. Like, oh, shit. Like,
and then he's just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I was surprised by how many dick jokes there was in that scene as well.
Nah. That's what they're all about, man. They've all had a bunch of drinks. I mean, Tony, of course, you know, like, no. I mean, he even makes a dick joke at the end of the movie, too.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I mean, there's literally a point where Thor and Iron Man are comparing their dicks by their girlfriends. Oh yeah, Jane's getting a Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, you know, Pepper's running home.
I love how Maria was just like, masculine testosterone.
I mean, at least they called them on that, but yeah, it was kind of sad though that neither one of them made an appearance. I mean, Jane didn't make an appearance in the first.
I think, honestly, there were enough people in this movie. I didn't need either of them.
Well, I think they could have shown up at the party, because that's pretty much what Falcon does.
Yep, Falcon shows up there, and then he doesn't show up again until the very end of the film. So.
I mean, he kind of want to be an Avenger.
Yeah, I mean, this also kind of ties into the battle, where if Ultron's robots got a hold of his wings, he would have just been gone.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, like, look at look at Winter Soldier. Like, the dude just ripped one of his wings off with one go.
Yeah, but I mean, Hawkeye was around.
Yeah, but
Hawkeye has specialist arrows related to robots.
I'm sure he could have gotten specialist bullets for robots.
Okay, but that still doesn't discount the wings. That they could just rip off the wings and he'd still be screwed.
He could find some way.
Of course, because wings are a dime a dozen in Sokovia.
Guys! Jesus Christ. You guys all caught the Stan Lee cameo, though, right?
That was awesome. Amazing. I'm also kind of curious how much alcohol fit into that little thing.
Right, because he kept pouring it.
I thought it was Guardian magic.
Yeah, it could be magic.
That's true. Yeah. It's actually a really tiny portal into Asgard, into like a lake made of the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. He borrowed it from Doctor Who.
Walk it. Dive your head in and you're already drunk by the time you surfaced.
Does anybody know if the Korean scientist is actually a character from the comic books?
Apparently she is.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense that she is, but, like, she had a very important role for someone I had no idea who she was.
Yeah, I thought she was actually going to turn out to be the Wasp. Or, no, Black Widow, because in the comics there was an Asian Black Widow.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, she didn't turn out to be anything beyond...
just a doctor.
Yeah, I was trying to see if she had like a big moment in the film.
And the funny thing is that if you blink during the very ending montage of the movie, you probably think that she died in that scene, because like when she got shot by Ultron later in the movie, and then Captain America finds her, and he just leaves her right to go chase Ultron. Mm-hmm. But if you're not paying attention to the new Avengers facility, like you don't actually see her walking around there, like just feeling, just being better.
Yeah, at least does she have cast on her arm when that happens too? Or am I wrong?
I don't remember, but all I know is that like, wow, they make no like mention of it. The camera doesn't even focus on her; she's just in the background.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of those weird characters, because she has like her main scenes is here at the party, then when Ultron brainwashes her, and then when he unbrainwashes her. Or I guess when Wanda does. I thought it was an odd character arc. I felt that way for a lot of characters, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Like, it seems to be missing scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Whedon has gone on record saying that like his original version was apparently like 3 hours long or something like that, which might explain why some things feel cut down.
Yeah, and like certain motivations aren't fully explained, and like when Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch go and they meet Ultron in the church.
Mm-hmm.
He gives the spiel and everything, but then the very next scene is like them planning a mission.
Yeah, that didn't make sense. This basically takes place right after the party. Why is Ultron in stage 3 when he should technically be in stage 2 of like his look? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, there's definitely things that seem to be missing in terms of storytelling.
Yeah.
And it was already a 2 hours and 20 minutes long, so...
Yeah. It was shorter than the first film by 2 or 3 minutes, he said.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It didn't feel that long.
I think because this one had so much more. I actually thought they should have cut some stuff. And, okay, I might... The self-chat with Black Widow and Hulk. What did you folks think of that?
Okay, I am not against the idea of the two of them being together. And up until the farmhouse scene and like that last scene where they were in Ultron's base, I would have been completely on board with them. The whole thing about kids felt kind of out of place. It felt like it was something from a completely different movie.
No, because I mean, like that's like I feel like that would have been like his first line of defense about like why he should never be with anybody. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, have like little Hulks running around and stuff? Like, are you stupid? Like.
Well, I
feel like that's actually one of the things you should have brought up in like earlier, but the fact that it is out eventually didn't surprise me.
The only thing I would say about that, and granted at this point it's not even very much content, he didn't have a problem with that with Betty and the Incredible Hulk. Like, the only reason he had an issue with that was because he couldn't have sex with her because his heart rate would go up too high.
Yes, but at that point he also hadn't been the Hulk for very long. I don't think that he was still very much aware.
I think he'd only been the Hulk for a couple months, and he hadn't, like, gotten low to the point where he wanted to kill himself.
Also, that movie is dumb.
Yes, that's the more important part.
Well, like I said, at this point, it doesn't even really matter. I don't think he's mentioned Betty since.
No. Yeah, so did she, like, die off-screen or something, or...?
No, but, I mean, Thunderbolt Ross isn't even a character anymore. You know, Tony Stark shows up at the end credit scene of Hulk, but that's... It's... Besides that, bless you.
Sorry.
Neither, unless you, Ross character shows up in any Marvel film or television property, oddly enough.
Yeah. I thought it was an odd, I mean, it's whatever, I guess they wanted something to, you know, like, with so many characters, you probably want to think as many as possible to condense screen time. But I thought it was an odd ending as well, with him just, like, peacing out on a jet.
I kind of got why that made sense.
Well, okay, so from what I heard about that part, we really are jumping all the way around, but the going theory with that, there were two different endings to the Hulk storyline, and it all depended on how much money Guardians made, because if...
I remember this.
If it tanked, he was going to take that jet into space, and he was supposed to be in Guardians 2, which, you know, to sort of, like, help support that franchise, but it obviously doesn't need his help, so they kind of just dumped him, and he won't... My dad and I were talking about this. He won't be appearing in another film, theoretically, for another three or four years. Like, in real time. Like, he, you know, unless they stick him... The only film he could feasibly appear in, because it's the only one that takes place on Earth, well, okay, that's not true, but it's the only one that it would make sense for him to appear in is Civil War next year. And so far, he's not. I don't think he's appearing in that.
If he was, they probably would have said something at this point.
Yeah. But, I mean, otherwise, then you have Guardians 2, Thor, Inhumans, Captain Marvel, and...
Doctor Strange can show up in. I mean, it would make no sense, but...
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Black Panther and Doctor Strange both take place on Earth, but having him show up in either of those films makes no sense.
So. Well, I mean, it depends. Black Panther... I mean, granted, Black Panther would be after Avengers Infinity War Part 1, so I assume he'd be back by the end of that. But, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I would imagine he's going to be in some part of the Avengers. I can imagine him coming into the third act of the first one as for the heroic moment or something like that. But, and I guess, kind of, since I am all over the place, the end with her and Fury was also kind of weird, because it seemed like she was hinting at the fact that Fury thought there was something between them.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. He says in the lines of, like, did I plan for you two to become a thing? And he's just like, no, I just thought that you would be able to help him. I forget exactly what I said, but it sounded like that, and it came off a little weird.
Yeah, he just said you hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. I would just
which my point,
Nick
which
Fury
my
up
mind
connection.
Was like, he just hoped that she wouldn't get squashed when she went to go recruit him.
Which kind of doesn't reflect good on him.
Well, no, but I mean,
if he was just like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it kind of doesn't reflect well on him if the best he's able for is like, I really hope she doesn't die if I send her by herself.
Well, it is Nick Fury. I mean, he's a people's person.
Very true. Much so.
So what about you, Chris? I haven't really heard much of your opinion on any of this.
I enjoyed what I saw, but like there were just those parts where it was like, all right, this seems to be missing something. Like there's no explanation for why this is happening, and then all of a sudden like there's another scene, and it's like, okay, this doesn't have the explanations behind it that you would expect.
Like
Wanda and Quicksilver just kind of join up with Ultron, and then they're right into like planning a mission, and it was this weird edit that just kind of really stood out to me. I mean, it just parts where it's like, you know, they show up at Hawkeye's house,
mm-hmm.
and we're like Tony and Steve are having their pissing contest, bashing wood. It's like, all right, I get why they're kind of like pissed off at each other, but they're not really exploring any of that. They're just staring at each other, and cutting wood, and obviously Steve is better at that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but Tony is still like being a smartass to him, and
yeah, he's like a dick throughout the whole movie, like an amazing.
I honestly wouldn't have been surprised if Steve just like took the axe right to Tony's throat just out of nowhere.
I was also kind of, I mean, I understand he was upset at Tony, but it was weird that Cap was mad at Hawkeye for hiding his family from them.
Right.
Was he mad?
Was he mad?
Yeah,
he just seems surprised.
No, he throws the comment out at Tony, like none of my teammates tell me anything. Like,
well, I don't think it was more of that. I think it was just more like, I'm surprised that you didn't tell me this.
I'm with Justin. Well, yeah, I didn't take it to relate to Hawkeye at all. But,
well, I didn't mean that. He was like, ugh. But yeah, it did seem like, oh, he's... Like, the whole point of having a family is that, you know, he didn't
Well, to be fair, Hawkeye also doesn't ask a lot of questions, you know, which is something that they talked about with Avengers 1. Like, he doesn't always ask. So it makes sense that he wouldn't, like, you know, if no one asks about his family, then he doesn't tell. And it's not exactly like he has much reason to tell people about his family.
And they were also talking about Thor in that scene anyways, because they were like, where'd Thor go? And he was like, I don't know. He's like, people used to tell me things, and I always hoped that Thor would be the one person who would, and now he's off doing his thing. Anyways, you were saying, Chris?
It's just the way characterizations were just really kind of like took me by surprise. Like, we're not going to explore exactly why things are going bad. We're just going to kind of like give you a brief setup for it and then be like, and now shit's really bad. Like,
yeah, that kind of happened Hawkeye's family. Like, it was like, oh, we're going to give him something more than just because he's had no good development, but his family doesn't really play a factor beyond this scene.
No, not really. Like, I mean, his wife tells him, like, we're having another baby, and, or well, I guess she was already pregnant or whatever, but it's like this, it was so weird, because it's like, alright, well, now I'm gonna go out and do this again. Like, I'm gonna go get myself killed. Like, and I get it, he's like a hero, but he's like the weakest of them all. Right?
Well,
like,
and he even says that, right, to Scarlet Witch. He's like, look, none of this makes sense. Like, we got people with powers,
fighting
robots, and I'm a dude with a bow.
It's a great line, but it's also like, you look back at it, and like, his wife's like, they really need you. Like, for it's what? Like, he's not the glue that holds
this
team together.
Well, I mean, I guess, in a way, they kind of did need him, because he was the only one of them that actually managed to not get mind controlled throughout this entire movie.
Well, because he's been through that already.
Yeah, I actually really like that line. Like, he just gets her to hit with the arrow. He's just like, no, thank you.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite lines. Like, I've done the whole mind control thing before.
Right.
That was a cute callback, but yeah, it's like, yeah, at no per, because there's several times they mention, like, he's the most human and that the team needs him, but they never justify why that is. Like, not even during the climax does he have that big moment where it's like, yes, this is why we need Hawkeye.
Right. It's like, you show him, like, he's gonna sacrifice himself for that kid, and then, it ends up, like, Quicksilver ends up saving him with the car. It's like, everybody's just kind of saving him. Like, there's no real reason for him to be around. Like, Quicksilver could have saved that kid.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd setup. I understand what they're going for, but he literally could have called Quicksilver in the time he took to walk over there. Quicksilver would have got
just,
the kid.
Couldn't he just ran to the car?
It was an odd setup. I know what they were going for, but I'm like, he has a speedster on his team.
Right, who was willing to work with them at that point. Like,
yeah, that was a, they should have set that part up better. I will agree on that.
That would be like, you know, like Aquaman walking over to save somebody and like the Flash is hanging out next to him, but it's like,
eating some chips, be like, just let me know if you need me.
Right. Yeah. Oh shit, there's missiles coming in. Hold on, I'll save you.
Right after I finish this cake, God, it's so delicious.
Yeah. Okay, talking about that scene, and we mentioned this a bit earlier with Baron Strucker, Ultron gets two kills in this film. One is off-screen, and the other one, he has to cheat with a jet. Like, he has an army of clear robots, and he can't actually kill anybody without a jet.
Yeah. Dude, that army of killer robots was the worst army of killer robots I've ever seen.
He should definitely get his money back on those.
Since
technically he didn't pay for it. Yeah, but the Chitauri at least like got some kills in.
Well, they killed all the Korean scientists.
Oh, wow, that's like, what, five people?
Yeah, I know, that's all I got for you. But,
but yeah, no, I guess you bought them at Costco's or something. Bought them in bulk.
No, they were IKEA.
They're held together with wooden dowels.
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense because some of those things, you looked at them wrong and they broke.
Like, basically.
To be fair, if you look at Loki, I mean, sure, the one kill he got was like a quote-unquote important one, but I mean, Loki...
And it wasn't even a kill, but whatever.
Yeah, in the context of the movie...
It was a bitch move from behind.
Like, he just kills Coulson and then that's it. Like, you know, I don't think the point of the Marvel villains...
Oh, it's
was
not
ever,
it's,
like,
but
to
yeah,
show
I mean,
that they were like mass murderers, like show that on screen just to, you know, mm-hmm. imply their scale more than anything else.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, like, they introduce Ultron as like this, not necessarily scary because he came out quoting nursery rhymes, but he was kind of this deranged and conflicted individual in his first scene, and then he eventually just became a snarky. I mean, yes, everybody says he's based off of Tony Stark, and we are in the scene with the claw that he's pretty much has the mentality. He's like a kid who's told he's like his dad.
He's like Tony Stark mixed with a little bit of Wilson Fisk.
But yeah, he just kind of becomes this comic.
He kind of becomes James Spader.
Yeah, sure.
And you get James Spader to do James Spader, I guess. But it's like, Ultron is like this big, scary robot that's supposed to be like the extinction of mankind.
Yeah, I was not terrified by Ultron.
No, not really.
I think
part of the problem is that like the twins do most of the heavy lifting for him. Like, they're the ones that get to screw with the Avengers. They're the ones that, you know, lead to the destruction of Wakanda. They're the ones that kind of like lead to the whole train getting derailed. It's like, if it weren't for him, or if it weren't for them, he'd probably be kind of shit out of luck.
But just sad, because again, he has an army of robots.
Yeah, like if they like established the robot army earlier or had them more prominent in the fight scenes, that would have been one thing. But for the most part, it was just the twins doing his work for him.
Well, that's the thing. By the time they get to the point where Ultron's actually powerful enough to do that, they have to start closing out the film. Like,
yeah,
like
so it's like
Ultron is never actually like given chance to breathe, and like we get the reasoning early on why he's going to be the villain, but it kind of stays that one note, right? You don't ever get growth for him as a character.
I think that because of where he came from and what he does, the growth is twofold, because it like what Tony does reflects on Ultron and vice versa. You know, like when later in the film when they finally have captured the Vision and stuff, and they're heading back to Stark Tower with it, you know, Scarlet Witch is like, you know, like, where do you think Ultron got, like, why do you think he is the way he is? Like,
right.
Tony Stark's going to take this, and he's going to turn it on, and it's just going to, you know, and it's going to be,
in
everyone's mind, it's going to be the worst thing ever until Thor comes in and saves the day out of nowhere. But, you know, like, I think that they kind of doubled up on that character development in the sense of, like, well, they're closer to being the same character than people think.
Yeah, I feel like that would have paid better if they actually had Tony embrace that. Like, this is somebody who took my mission to its logical extreme. Like, I mean, he is taking Tony's mission, his statement that he says in the film, and he's taking it to the logical conclusion in that you can't protect this Earth with humans around because there will always be war and struggle. But Tony never connects the dots. Everybody around him say, "Tony, this is you." Mm-hmm. And
well, Tony's like, "Nah." But that's the point of the villain. The villain always thinks that they're right. So, like, Tony, even though he's a dick throughout most of the movie, like, thinks he's doing the right thing and being a giant dick.
But then what happens is, so, like, that would have worked if he doesn't create the Vision. Because it basically, Thor comes in at the end and, like, you know, you're having this big showdown between, you know, Tony and Steve and Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and, like, no, like, you can't do this, don't you see what's wrong? And then Thor shows up and he goes, "Nope, Tony's right." Like, "You gotta do it. And then he Frankensteins him and creates Vision. Like, it's like it kind of loses that, like, Tony never gets told he's wrong. And, like, he gets told he's wrong, but he's never proven that he's wrong.
Yeah. And can we mentioned Thor magic he's showing? Can we talk about his magical bath?
Yeah, so, okay, one, what the hell? Is that, like, based on anything in the comics, or is that just, like, from a thing?
All I know is that Joss Whedon cut out about 20 minutes of Thor's plot line when he leaves, and you can tell because Selvig shows up and he's like, "I need your help, Selvig," and then they're just at the water.
Yeah, it's like you might want to explain this to me.
And then Selvig leaves and disappears for the rest of the movie until he shows up in the montage at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Apparently they cut Loki's scene from that too, which
his was supposed to be a lot longer. Well, I think there was that his scenes with Loki were supposed to, like, help him realize that something was, like, going on with Loki in Asgard, but, like, that maybe he wasn't as dead as he thought he was.
Yeah.
But
of all the stuff here that felt like the most, you know, it's like, this part is going to set up this film, this part is going to set up this film, this felt like the most set up part of the film ever.
Yeah, and
does that make sense? Because there's, like, that whole montage with, you know, the Infinity Stones, and then you get, like, that quick glimpse of the Vision eyes.
Well, and I feel like a lot of the reviews complained about the invasiveness of the other movies, and I think that a lot of it was done rather well, with the exception of this, like, jaunt that we took Thor. Thankfully, it was only maybe, like, 5 to 10 minutes of the total movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe a half hour of what it could have been. It did kind of dilute a lot of the bigger moments in the movie because we were just sort of, like, left in the dark of what was actually happening.
Yeah, and it doesn't get brought up, like, another... Basically, the end of the film, where he's just like, "I'm gonna take care of this. I'm gonna find out what's going on."
I didn't feel that, like, the previous 10 movies infringed on this negatively. I did feel that a lot of Age of Ultron...
No. I meant the other movies to come.
Oh, yeah. No, that's... Yeah, it definitely feels like... For me, it was like, this is a giant setup piece for Civil War, the next two Avengers movies, and probably for everything else as well.
You know, to be fair, the first Avengers also kind of felt like that too, With the PTSD and Thor returning to Asgard, but it didn't feel as heavy-handed as it did.
I was going to say that wasn't... Because I felt like the first Avengers was the culmination of the phase.
Yeah.
This feels like this is kind of the... You know, like how you have a trilogy and you have that second film that exists, but it kind of it serves as a setup for the third. This kind of felt like this is the bridge. Like, this is, okay, we're going to get stuff moving for phase three.
Yes.
And there's
no celebration for, like... That's exactly how I felt with Avengers, was like, alright, we had these, you know, four or five films, and boom, here it is. Here's what it was all building up to. And then we had these other four or five films, and here's this, like, bridge. And you're gonna cross it. Then we're gonna do more movies. And then we're gonna have a big blow up. Like, this didn't feel... I didn't get that feeling of, like, alright, yeah, now I'm satisfied. Like, now it's like, alright, I guess I'm signing up for the next, like, 12 movies they're making, so...
Yeah, and I think the thing for me, and... I mean, it's weird, because I do enjoy this film, but I felt like a lot of the setup was just kind of really not well executed. Like, the end with the new Avengers, like, I'm not really sure why that came about.
Well, because everybody else left.
But, like...
Yeah. Why, because you couldn't just end with everybody leaving.
I get that, but, like, why did they... Who opened the school? Who's funding it? Who's deciding? Like, why did they decide we're going to have to train these people? Because a lot of these are already heroes. War Machine's been a hero since Iron Man 2.
Right, but they all never worked together before.
Yeah.
And it's the Avengers before Avengers.
And with the exception of War Machine, you know, I mean, Hawkeye, they all participated in battles, but that doesn't mean they're a unit, just like...
Yeah, it doesn't
mean
they're battle-ready. Like, you know, Wanda had, like, you know, her first big moment, but then she broke down and nearly wrecked the city. Vision's been alive for the better part of, like, 10 minutes, and Falcon's never been, like, a huge, big thing in the months probably since S.H.I.E.L.D. went down.
Yeah. But I think it was cool. It just kind of seemed like, okay, this is the thing we're doing now, and we're going with that. But yes, it was a nice nod, even though I don't know, I guess you'll see him in Civil War next.
Most of them, at least.
Yeah, I think all of them, except for Vision, are confirmed for Civil War.
I am curious, though, what's going to happen with Civil War, because, like, I'm sure you've all read the comic. The whole catalyst for Civil War is, like, this huge superhero destruction of a small town. But they already destroyed a tiny town in here.
Yes, but
already destroyed New York.
Okay, but I think the difference here, my theory, is that it's actually going to be the scene in Wakanda that is the trigger for this whole thing. That it's the Hulk going bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we haven't actually heard the official call for Banner's arrest, but it's in the air. And I bet you an Ant-Man, which will take place after this, we're going to see on televisions in the background, like, the search for the Hulk continues after the destruction of Wakandan City, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then in Civil War, that will be, like, the act in where they start tracking these type of people. That was a big thing.
I thought Ant-Man was a prequel.
Nope. Ant-Man takes place after Age of Ultron.
Yeah, and it's the conclusion to Phase 2.
No, let's not call it that. Let's call it Phase 2.5.
But, well...
It's actually the last Phase 2.
Like,
I'm not letting that happen.
Well, right. No, I'm with you. Like, it's a weird thing to, like, this is how we're going to close it out. But it is how, I guess, Disney and Marvel are approaching it. Like,
well, they're approaching it wrong. I feel like also leading into Civil War is going to be, you know, the stuff that happened in Seoul, because they did derail a train and cause a lot of, like, damage and traffic. So maybe
but they didn't kill anybody.
True.
No.
So I guess the big thing is going to be
that was actually the most minimal damage. I think the bigger problem was going to be the Hulk thing, because it's like, hey, you guys have an Avenger on your team
that can destroy everything in 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, not only that, but, like, you can't control him, and he can't control himself, like...
And now nobody knows where he is anyway, so...
Yeah. You know, I think, also part of, well, I mean, you know, they kind of hinted that, too, when, Iron Man is just, like, scanned for any tweak related to the Hulk, and there's just, like, that huge wall on his interface.
Yeah. For sure.
I haven't read Civil War in quite some time. Tony was in favor of
the registration.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So he'll be the quote-unquote villain.
Well, you see, that my problem is, and I mean, it's hard to talk about the future. Marvel, the MCU so far hasn't really done a great job of shades of gray. You're either a hero or you're extremely evil.
I disagree.
Who is shades of gray?
I think that Tony is quite a bit in this film more than any of the others has shown that. But also I think, you know, not Loki to a smaller extent. I think he's, you know, easily their most well-written villain. Because he's had a couple of films to build up, but I mean, he's not as just blanket evil as some of their other characters have been.
I don't necessarily put him as a character who's gray. He has selfish motivations. He's not purely driven by greed or evil, but his motives aren't like, I can understand where his motives come from. It's like, no, he's pretty much driven by selfish desires.
All right, well, then I would just put Tony in that, then. You know? Not necessarily, like, evil by your standards, but...
I think Tony, what Tony wants to do is... he considers what he wants to do novel, and it's like, he creates his monsters by accident. It's not like he's setting out to be a mad scientist. He's a Frankenstein. So I don't consider him... I don't necessarily consider him shades of gray. He's a hero. He's always played as a hero. He creates his monsters, but he ends up defeating them anyhow.
I don't necessarily think that's how he was portrayed in Ultron, though. I think that,
But at the end of the day, that's kind of how it... Like, he creates Ultron, you know, from that...
And then he creates the thing that destroys Ultron because he creates Vision.
And he's basically, he's given that... He's right. Tony's right. He needs to do this. Like, he's given the pass.
Sure, on the Vision, I suppose, but...
And he's also the one responsible for figuring out how to destroy this island. Which, what did you folks think of that scheme?
My bigger problem was that Nick Fury shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like he did in Iron Man 2, and was just like, oh, by the way, here's this helicarrier I whipped out of my ass.
Where was he hiding that thing?
Like, my bigger issue was like...
Very big ass.
Yeah. But, I thought the film was going to do is that it was going to have consequences. Because for that moment, they were stuck between a rock and a hard place where they either let the city annihilate the whole planet because it would become a meteor, or they destroy the city and they kill all the people who are still left on it. And I was like, oh... Okay, this is what it means to be, a superhero. You know, I thought it might have been a little dark for the Marvel films, but, I mean, it's still a movie about failure, no matter how you cut it, but it would have shown, beyond the fact that Tony was kind of, I'm no longer an Avenger, there were larger consequences to their actions.
Yeah, I think that was a cheap cop-out, because, they're having this discussion, it's like, no, don't worry about it, we got you covered.
I feel like it would have been perfect for Civil War if, since it was, the place where the twins grew up, if, they did destroy and all these people died, and then, on one hand, you have Scarlet Witch, who's just like, these people, they're my new family now. Like, we have no one else, and then Pietro's on the other side. It's like, this man literally has taken everything from us, and it would have been interesting to explore the two sides of war from, these siblings' perspectives.
I would have liked to see more interaction between Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and Tony. To see how that relationship would have evolved, because they certainly blame him for creating the weapons that killed their family, but...
There's that line that Pietro has where it's just like, you look at the missile, it's like, you think this is funny? Like, does this remind you of the good old days?
But, when you look at... go back all the way to the first... MCU film, Iron Man, that's kind of what drove him to become the hero in the first place, was he found out that, his stuff was being used the wrong way. So it would have been nice to see Tony kind of, expand on that with them and, show, hey, I can...
I'm trying to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting, because they made two references to that, because they also made a reference to his shady past with the Kree when he and
stealing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, he says something like along, like, well, I didn't sell him anything. Like,
yeah, it's just like, you know, I was just there. I was just there to talk.
You meet people at conventions.
Yeah.
I didn't sell him anything.
I liked what they did with Scarlet Witch as far as, like, her coming into her own, especially, like, with Hawkeye thrown into the mix. I would have liked it, and I especially liked, you know, after they've done, like, the big epic fight at the core where she's just like, I can handle this. I wish that we'd gotten something like that for Quicksilver, where they're both, like, coming into their own, and they're just like, we got this. You don't need to look after us. We can do this.
I was wondering about Quicksilver. I wonder if he had anything to do with, like, him being an X-Men. Because it was random. Again, I mean, he gets a heroic death. I guess not even... He gets a heroic death, but then they don't really mention anything of it. You don't see him get buried or anything.
They named the kid after him. His middle name.
Yeah.
Which I didn't catch that because of theater that I was in. I mean, it's like glassed over that or something. Or they didn't say it loud enough.
No, they didn't say it at all. It's literally on the onesie.
Oh, it's on the thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like,
okay,
it's
I definitely didn't see that then.
Yeah. That's why I was also kind of confused about the timing of the ending, because I didn't know how she didn't look that pregnant when they went to the farm.
She looked fairly pregnant.
She looked pregnant, but she didn't look like she was ready to burst.
I thought she even said in a couple months, like, I thought when before she goes out, like, she kind of talks to them and says, like, I thought it was in a couple months we're going to have...
Was it a couple months or a couple weeks?
I mean, it could have been a couple weeks, but I could have sworn she said a couple months. So.
It might have been... I mean, even if it is months, I mean, it takes time for them to build, like,
that new event
facility and stuff, so it could have been reasonable that it was in a couple months.
The only reason I ask isn't even related to this movie, but because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to deal with the fallout, but there's going to be either a weird time difference or they're going to jump ahead from last week.
There's probably going to be a time difference, and then, you know, the hypothetical season 3 will help bridge some of that together.
Yeah. We shall see.
So, I wonder how much... So, one of the more interesting moments in the film is towards the end with the last Ultron bot and Vision.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, their final conversation and, you know...
There's no way that the final robot is dead, right?
No, it is. I actually... That's one of the things I enjoyed about this movie is that, like, there's no way that, like, they can bring Ultron back for another 3 movies like they did with Loki, even though he didn't deserve to be in Thor 2, at least. Like, there was no reason to have him there, but...
Well, I hope... I mean, you would hope that Ultron has at least one clone or one part of him on the internet somewhere. I find it really weird that he would have everybody converge in one location and not think of having some type of backup.
Well, that might have been his arrogance, which I think was one of his downfalls.
Yeah. Well, he is modeled after Tony.
Right.
Yeah. True.
But anyways, with the conversation, you know, he's talking to Vision, he's like, they're talking about the human race and stuff, and he's like, they're doomed, and Vision agrees with him, and I just, like, I thought that line was so interesting, because I wonder, like, how much foreshadowing there is in that, like, in terms of the movies we know that are coming in the future and things like that. You know, he's like, nothing, you know, things aren't beautiful because they last. So.
I thought it was just more of like a general thing. It's like eventually, not even taken, you know, Infinity War or Ragnarok into account. Just like these people are fucked. You get that these people are fucked. He's just like, yeah, but I want to see them evolve and see if they can save themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way, right? Like
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I might be reading into it too much.
It could be reading into it too much, or it could just be, you know, hey, we are fucked. It's just a general statement of, like...
Yeah, it's just like, you know,
we're
what?
Eventually going to kill each other, and...
Yeah, it's just like, you know what? These guys are going to kill each other, and I'm going to sit back and drink some beer while they do it, damn it.
Alright, so... Overall, I think we all liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, even though we just spent the last hour picking it.
Yeah, I had a pretty fun time with it, actually. Although, I do have one problem, and I'm not sure if you guys have this problem, too, where it's... This is a weird complaint. But I'm normally cool with Joss Whedon's writing for these characters, but this is the first one where it felt like it was too quippy. Does that make sense?
I did think that they were, because like, some of it was cute, and then it kind of went on and on and on, like the running joke with Steve and the language.
No, that was fine, but then there's that one part where, you know, Ultron's with the twins, so like everyone creates a thing they dread, and he's just like, what's the name for that? And it's like, oh, children. Like
that one I actually enjoyed.
It's
probably a taste thing. Like,
Yeah, I guess. I guess the part where it's just like after you know, as the city's coming down and Ultron's like making his way out into the jet, and then like there's that dark somber music playing, but then the Hulk just shows up and throws him out the plane.
Ultron's
just like, oh, for God's sake.
That's like I enjoyed that one quite a bit.
But I feel like that was like, you know, they had the same thing happen in the first Avengers movie with Loki, right?
And
it was just like, well, we have to have that scene where the Hulk randomly beats the villain, whatever.
And I thought it was cute when the Ultron robots ran away from him.
It might just be a taste, like you said. For some reason, it just kind of felt like it sort of... I guess I was hyped... This film was sort of hyped up as, like, you know, the darkest of the ones so far, and it just didn't entirely feel like that to me.
Well,
because
I mean,
of the quipping.
I was about to say, when you take out the MCU as a whole, I mean... It probably is the darkest. I mean, you had a major character die, and you had them destroy a major. You had them destroy a major city, and they dealt with. But yeah, I mean, the Marvel, the MCU, as far as I can tell, isn't going to go really that dark.
Yeah, I mean, I think Captain America 2 is probably the darkest you'll get.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm not complaining about. This just sort of. It sort of took me out of it sometimes.
Well, I mean, what is his philosophy? You can kill them, you can do whatever, but goddamn, tell a joke.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing, and that's kind of what went through my mind as I was watching this. We're just like, maybe dial it back a bit.
Do you want to touch on anything else, Chris?
No, I mean, outside of the fact that it fell short of the Avengers record for box office.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of
it did.
Yeah.
Just like a couple hundred, right?
20 million, I believe.
It rounded down. I think it ended up being only 16 million short.
Yeah, it's the Avengers made 207 in its first 3 days, and Age of Ultron made 191.
Which is weird because it had a better like opening. I heard like it has like the second best opening of all time, like short of the last Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, I think one, I don't think Avengers did this, this was something that started happening afterward, is that Avengers Age of Ultron has what, you know, like the 7 o'clock show, so it was showing 7, 8, 10. So there were more shows the night before, instead of like when they used to do midnight, you used to have like midnight and maybe 3 a.m.
I thought Avengers had one.
Avengers didn't. I know Captain America did, and that might have been the first Marvel film I remember doing it for.
Captain America 1 or Captain America 2?
Captain America 2, Winter Soldier. Okay. Because this is a very recent thing. I think within the last 2 or 3 years, they started to do it more often. And the other thing, and a lot of people probably... People predicted this, but a lot of people didn't think it was going to have a huge impact, is the big Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, that definitely...
Was that actually something people were predicting?
Wait, what are we talking about?
The boxing match. The boxing match of the decade. Well, I mean, hyped up to be. It turned out to be.
Of the decade. I think that's a bit generous. Apparently not a lot happened, except Mayweather started trying to hug Pacquiao.
Not that happened, but you made... what they made
that literally.
They made something like $400 million in pay-per-view buys.
That is so much money.
Yeah, which definitely probably kept some people away from the theater, so...
Yeah, because it had a pretty soft drop on Sunday, which is why it got bumped up to 4 million today, is because it actually ended up doing better on Sunday than they anticipated. Yeah, I'm curious, because I've been my two biggest... Well, three biggest shows at the MCU right now has always been the lack of compelling villains, which we kind of touched on with Ultron. I feel like a lot of their climaxes have kind of been the same thing. Heroes against an army of generic looking soldiers, which you touched on as well. The third one's
Mutate. Sure, but that's not going to change because, I mean, the Marvel machine exists to sell
movies,
right?
Yeah.
And it has to be more kid-friendly than
the movies. And there's definitely a formula they've hit on, and well, it's obviously working for them currently.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I
selling like crack.
The bad guys have to be aliens and stuff, you know, or robots or things like that. You know, like the only human villain we had was like Loki or something like that. You know,
well, I mean, most of the ones in Iron Man are humans as well.
But
I mean,
they're machines. Like, they have robot armor and stuff, so it's not like two guys actually, like, fighting each other.
I was also going to say, the ones in Captain America are humans, too.
Yeah, Captain America's the one exception, which is, you know, I'm surprised they went with, but I think they realized for that particular character, there's no way around that, so they just make the best of it.
But yeah, I do feel, the problem is the best villains for, in Marvel, don't exist in the properties that Disney and Marvel actually have control of.
Yes, as we'll see this summer when we get Doctor Doom in Fantastic Four.
Right, like Doom, the Green Goblin,
Magneto.
Magneto.
Well, to be fair, do most of those villains even cross over to the Avengers space all that often? Aside from Doctor Doom.
But I wouldn't, like, I was going to say, most of them I wouldn't want to see in an Avengers movie anyways. Like,
I mean, well, if it was the Avengers against Green Goblin, that would end in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, but even something like Galactus, I think, would be an interesting one.
The Green Goblin, though, like, is also part of the Sinister Six, which that then creates
Now, to be fair, they do have that deal with Sony and Spider-Man, and
right,
it's
so
in
that,
his own standalone film. So.
It is possible that stuff starts to filter over. Although I still think Doom is the best Marvel villain, but...
But, I mean, at the same time, they've had enough movies. I mean, they're doing something with Thanos. I don't necessarily know how it's going to turn out, but they're exposing him up through various appearances. And they've had enough, like, somebody said this, and this is kind of, like, if Marvel wanted to, they could create good villains. It's not important to them because it can, like, nobody cares. Like, we complain about it.
They can just make their own villain.
But they seem to be making money off of it hand over fist, so it's not it's a complaint everybody has, but we still go see these movies.
Well, to be fair, I'm sure it's not them just being like, okay, let's create the most generic villain ever. I'm sure it's just, like, they just haven't, like, nailed that right
guy
yet.
I
doubt it's them just being like, okay, let's just generic the fuck out of this guy.
Well, I mean, to use an old wrestling analogy, WCW used to be a heel-run organization, and that's what DC is. People used to always say that the original Burton Batman was the Joker's movie. People say that the Joker was in The Dark Knight, that was his movie, because the villains are more compelling than the heroes. Where Marvel is the WWE, which has always been a face-driven company, you can, you know, the villains are generic as hell, but almost every single one of their heroes is likable. And they carry the movies.
And there's nothing wrong with taking that different approach from it, you know, and I think for the lighter, like, more popcorn-y, blockbuster fun tone that Marvel goes for, you need to have the heroes be more interesting because they're in so many, and especially in a serialized universe that Marvel is, you know, the first of their kind to do, you need to have these characters that are, like, people that like these characters that are going to be in several movies, sometimes not even their own movie, you know, and have people enjoy them. While the villains, with the exception of maybe Loki or something like that, who I'm pretty sure has only appeared in more films than need be because he became so likable. Like, he was like a fluke.
Well, I mean, because I was going to say, because he was scheduled to appear in Avengers before Thor came out anyhow. So,
sorry,
that was always Loki. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I honestly think part of it is because a lot of people find him attractive.
Yeah.
There's sure. That. People think he is very pretty, so. So Ant-Man's next.
Yeah.
In July.
I'm kind of not against that.
It looks like...
It'll be funny at
fun.
Least.
It looks fun, right? Like, I'm not expecting major things from it, but it looks fun.
I could go with some fun for this summer. I've had a good amount of fun in the past few movies I've seen so far.
This summer looks like it's filled with fun, so...
Yeah.
Dumb fun, in a lot of cases, but fun.
Furious 7 is the poster child for dumb fun.
Yeah, but Jurassic World looks like it's going to be...
It's going to double up on the dumb. it's going to be so much fun, too.
I say Terminator Genesis is just on the dumb side.
Yeah.
Right.
Mad Max looks like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I don't know if it'll be dumb either, so.
I didn't think, yeah, that, sadly, it looks like it may be too smart, because it's very Shrek and Batchy right now.
Really?
What is?
I think Mad Max Fury Road. I think it's tracking for like a 20, 25 million opening weekend.
That's a shame, because it looks fucking phenomenal.
It looks
R-rated.
That's true.
Nobody sees R-rated movies anymore. But while we're talking about comics and stuff, what did you guys think about the awful Suicide Squad cast photo?
Actually, I didn't think it was awful at all. I actually kind of liked it a little. I was surprised that Kitana was there.
The worst fucking thing I'd ever seen.
It definitely has been a split, right? Like,
mm-hmm. I mean, that's the DC Cinematic Universe
in
itself.
It looks like a fraternity and a sorority joined up for the college Halloween party, and they raided a Goodwill store for their costumes.
Jesus Christ.
I'm convinced
that this is just Zack Snyder being angry that everyone hated Sucker Punch, and so he's just shoving as many pieces of that into movies he's actually allowed to make.
This is Zack Snyder.
He isn't associated with him at all, is it?
Well, he's overlord of the DC Universe now that Nolan is gone, so this reeks of him.
I don't think so. I mean, this seems to be mostly David Ayer. This is his, it's a very odd picture, I think, because when it gets right, it also gets really wrong, and that a lot of these characters clash in how they look and appear, but that makes sense because it's not a team that's formed by anything other than the fact of the threat of death.
Yeah, no, so, the aesthetic of, like, the team is not the problem, it's, like, the quality of their costumes. Like, Will Smith looks like he's wearing paintball gear. And, to be fair... You know, Harley Quinn may as well not be wearing pants.
Did you see the closer...
The mask?
The full shot of Will
Smith,
though?
Yeah, I mean, at least now he has the mask. Because at first I was kind of like, wait, are they...
The mask shouldn't be white.
But that's the color of the mask and the... Well, this is the problem, I think, with Oddity. Comic book costumes, like, I know Marvel does it well for the most part, but other comic book costumes don't translate well. Like, I honestly hate Deadshot's costume in the comic books. I hate his and I hate Rick Flag's. I hate anything that's really kind of like, Aquaman has the same problem, where it's comic book colors that pop on page but really are gaudy if you put them together in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he has, like, silver and red, and his mask has, like, Deadshot just
has a scope on it. It's just like a baklava.
Yeah, it looks really terrible. And then at some point they gave him a trench coat. I've hated his costume. And it seems everybody else has, because almost anything he's been in, they've always changed it. Arrow changed it. Justice League changed it. Arkham.
Assault on Arkham changed it.
Yeah.
Arkham Origins changed it. I think he's changed like at least 20 times.
Yeah, nobody likes his costume in the comics.
Yeah.
So Will Smith, it looks like hockey pads, sure, but it's body armor. I mean, that's all you really expect from the dude.
Yeah.
Killer
Croc actually doesn't look half bad.
Yeah, I was actually happy they went with Killer Croc that way, because so many things portray him as a crocodile man.
He looks like somebody just slapped a plastic prosthetic over his head and was just like, well, this is the best we got.
That's kind of the point. I mean, it's a skin condition that nobody seems to bring up anymore.
No, it's just like, okay, well, obviously his name's Killer Croc, so he's like a crocodile man.
Yeah,
that they should have just gone with the Arkham game interpretation and just went for it.
He's just like a giant brick shithouse.
Well, because what else matters? Like, this, I mean, this movie's, it also has like 15 characters in it, so I mean, you want to talk about a crowded fun.
Yeah, so, what the hell is Kitana doing there?
I don't know
why this movie exists.
Okay.
Let's start with that.
Okay, I've said this before, and I'm completely... This is my most anticipated comic book movie of the next two or three years. Yeah, I know. I said of the next two or three years. I mean, the Batman v Superman, Justice League, Avengers, all that other stuff. This has been my most anticipated since it was announced. I'm a huge fan of the Suicide Squad. And I think that this... I mean, personally speaking... It can turn out terribly or whatever, but I actually think it's a great idea to follow up Batman v Superman, because in one film you establish your world of superheroes, and the other film you establish your world of supervillains. And we just kind of mentioned how Marvel doesn't really have a lot of compelling villains. So this is a great way to kind of get the ball rolling with a bunch of villains at once.
All their villains must shop at the same store. They all go to the same Hot Topic.
Yeah, so Harley's outfit looks... Yeah.
It's something.
I'm torn, because on one hand, it's probably like the least sexualized thing that she's been in since like 1996. But on the other hand, it looks really weird.
It's oddly enough, my biggest problem with her costume is that she...
Hair.
No, I actually like the hair. Is that she's wearing like 6-inch heels.
Yeah, they're not practical at all.
Oh, sure, let's talk about practicality in a superhero movie.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, it's really strange.
Let's talk about how El Diablo looks like he is a high school jock.
Well, to be fair, he also looks kind of that ridiculous in the comics.
I don't know, let me tell you, I know about maybe 5 of these characters, and they're the important ones.
Jai Courtney looks fucking ridiculous. Can you stop putting Jai Courtney in things?
Well, see, this is again kind of... he looks ridiculous, but he's pretty much copying what Captain Woman actually looks like in the comic.
He looks like a homeless man.
Yeah, and it's the if you see any close-up of his hair, the hair is awful, but it's like, this is Captain Boomerang.
I'm looking at this thing again, and I realized I hate all of it.
This is a full disclosure. I also have this weird, immense dislike of Jai Courtney.
Oh, I hate Jai Courtney. I have no feelings about that.
I can't remember any movie I've seen him in. I think, is he supposed to be in Terminator?
Did you see Divergent?
No.
He's in Divergent. He's in A Good Day to Die Hard. He's in I, Frankenstein.
He's in a lot of movies.
Awful movies.
Yes, exactly why I hate Jai Courtney.
He's like Sam Worthington, where it's just like a white dude that Hollywood wants to make into a thing, but it's not sticking.
Yeah.
Sam Worthington at least looks a little better, though.
Yeah, and what's he doing now?
No, I'm just saying he looks a little better than this dude.
Waiting for James Cameron to make an Avatar sequel so he can make billions of dollars.
If they ever get off the ground.
Sometime in the next 100 years.
But yeah, my biggest beef with this image really was the fact that I get that the Suicide Squad, and it really sucks because like 3 of them are just guys holding guns, and it's like, okay, like you could have some diversity there. It's like a bad first person shooter group.
Exactly.
A little bit, yeah.
Exactly.
It looks like, you guys remember Clive Barker's Jericho?
Ugh.
This kind of looks like the cast list for that.
Ugh. Oof.
Also, I don't know who it is that's supposed to be standing to the right of Jai Courtney, but she looks like she looks like the girl from The Grudge, like just right after she stepped.
I don't
out
actually
of
know. Like whenever I think of Enchantress, I think of the Thor character. I don't actually know what she is in the DC universe.
I've honestly never heard of her until they announced her for the movie.
Yeah, she's a sorceress who has like a split personality, and like. It's really weird, so I don't necessarily know if they're going to do the whole magic thing. But I have no idea how they got that costume for her, because if you see her costume in comics, it's green and vibrant, and she... Like,
yeah, that's really dull.
Yeah, she looks like a Tim Burton reject.
Is that a moon on her head?
I think it's supposed to be her crown. Again, really colorful in the comics, so I don't know what they're interpreting it
as.
I'm
looking at... photos of her like in the comics, and she looks way more vibrant.
Yeah. So who knows?
And then there's Joker supposed to be thrown into all this somehow.
Well, I imagine Joker is going to be similar to his role in Assault on Arkham, the same way Batman will be, and that they're not main players, but they'll be in the background, because you can't be in Gotham and not run into Batman and the Joker at some point.
Can we just be glad that that Joker Leto doesn't have like the ripped off face like he does in the comics right now?
No, I would be more happy if he did.
No, that would not have been marketable. That would have been fucking horrifying for children.
Yeah, I suppose to this dude who grew up in the age of punk and was just like, this is what makes me look cool and edgy. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that cartoon video of when he goes to the tattoo artist?
No.
Oh my god, hold on. This is exactly how I believe the creative process for all of this stuff went.
But it's like, can you just imagine if they did like a Lego Suicide Squad and then they have like a little like broken face for Lego Joker?
But it did, isn't the Suicide Squad a DLC for Lego Batman 3?
I don't know. We have really got off topic here.
Right. Anyway, that's Earl's most anticipated movie.
Yes.
Comic book movie.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it when it comes out. When is it coming out?
August 2016.
Yep. So I think they just started filming a few weeks ago, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, August 5th. Yeah. That's my birthday. That's sad.
Maybe it'll be good.
Maybe.
I think that's a real strong maybe.
I'm pretty hopeful for it. Well, I mean, I think it's you have to remember, it's like, the costumes look better in motion than they do...
And I understand that, but I just...
I know.
I just... There's
like,
so much...
Earl posted a artwork of the costuming for Batman vs. Superman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, the Superman costume looks... moronic. Like, it's terrible. Like,
well, I mean, now to be fair, I saw the trailer for Batman Superman and I was like, okay.
I it's grown on me a little bit.
I still think, like, I just saw it, like, right after the Star Wars trailer and I was just like, this is the least exciting thing I could have ever seen at this very moment. Like,
well, you showed it to me the day we sat down to talk about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was like, this is depressing. Like,
it's depressing.
I'm actually mad at this trailer.
But after I let it sit a few days and watched, like, this isn't bad. Like, it's a legitimate teaser. Like, there's nothing going on there outside of setup. So, I'm kind of okay with it.
I'm still trying to figure out just what the hell Ike Barinholtz is doing in this movie.
What?
Wait,
Ike Barinholtz is in this?
I don't know who that is.
He was in Mad TV. She saw Neighbors. He was like Seth Rogen's friend.
Nope. Okay.
All right, we'll Google him and you will see that he doesn't look like, you know, funny.
There's a lot of
serious man material. So this movie bothers me.
There's a lot of people missing from this group shot as well. Common's not here.
Holy shit, there's an actual character named Slipknot in the comics? I thought that was just a joke.
No,
there is.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I told you, man, this movie's edgy.
Holy shit.
Well, I feel I think edgy's such a stupid misnomer now, because everybody uses it for everything. But I don't necessarily know...
That's kind of the point.
But yeah, I also don't necessarily know what you would want from a movie about a group of criminals. It should be kind of dark.
But it's not dark. This is.
Well, I'm talking about. I mean,
this is Zack Snyder's. Like,
again, not Zack Snyder.
I know it's Zack Snyder. Trust me. Just in the way that Man of Steel was more of a Nolan movie than a Snyder movie, this is definitely more of a Snyder movie.
When exactly did you think Zack Snyder had time to work on this in between filming his movie last year?
You know,
he probably does everything.
Yeah. Or, you know, when he, like, puts the camera on slow-mo, he has, like, you know, an hour to kill.
Well, I would say this is mostly David Ayer's creation.
Well, you can keep saying that. Doesn't instill anything.
nothing to break in.
Nothing? Okay. So, we have the director who pretty much spent most of last year, at the start of this year, showing when he was writing the script and showing the comics he was reading to write this script. And then we have Zack Snyder, who spent most of last year filming a movie. And somehow he had a lot to do with this.
Yeah.
I mean, he's executive producer, and I have no doubt that...
Is he executive producer for this?
I think so, yeah.
I honestly have not seen it. I don't know. What?
Oh, that's where that noise was coming from.
I was going to say, somebody's watched the video.
Well, I found a... I guess there's shots of Margot Robbie as Harley outside of that cast photo.
Oh, yeah. There's shots of all of them outside and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the heels are still really dumb.
Yeah, the heels are dumb. I mean, she looks great, but the heels are stupid.
I think costuming-wise, she looks fine.
Also, so. Peter is correct. He is, Zack Snyder is executive producer on Suicide Squad.
I still think executive producers are very stupid. It's like a... yeah, whatever.
It's just an honorary credit.
Yeah. Like. I think Zack Snyder still... I mean, I think Chris Nolan still gets it for Batman v Superman as well.
Yeah,
and
like
he's not involved with that.
Like, a lot of times you see, like,
I'm looking now.
They'll say, like, Quentin Tarantino, like executive produced by Quentin Tarantino, just to, like, so they can say his name in association
yeah.
with the film.
From the person who created Jackie Brown.
But yes, I also imagine that Zack Snyder has, you know, because especially being that this does crossover Batman v Superman, I assume he has some say, but I can't imagine he's there okay in the costume design.
No, but because it's like, my bigger problem is that it fits his aesthetic. Like, whether or not he had, like, direct influence on it, it's like, okay, he has set the tone with Man of Steel and Batman v Superman or whatever, and so everything has to follow that.
Well, I mean, if they're gonna go down that route, like, yeah, everything was gonna have to follow it anyway, so...
Sure, but I mean, oof. It followed it already, just down the fucking rabbit hole.
I don't think that's what that means, but okay.
Look at... Yeah, I don't... Is Nolan... Hey, Nolan's executive producer on Batman v Superman.
Yeah, and he's pretty much not doing anything with it.
Yeah, I wonder what he is doing nowadays, actually. Well, he made Interstellar, right?
Interstellar, yeah. 2.
I think he just started teasing his next movie this past week.
That's cool.
Anyway, we'll get to that at some point. Mm. But let's wrap it up here.
We're still recording?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to keep all that in, too.
I thought we were just talking.
No, he's been... That's why I said that we, like, got really off track.
Yeah.
I have a question.
So far off track that Earl didn't even realize that we were still going. What was your question, Justin?
What is, like, I guess, like, your favorite action beat from the film?
Hmm.
Or, like, your moment where you're just like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Well, I mean, those are probably two different things for me, then. Because I don't think...
You can do both.
I think my favorite moment of the film, like, is still is probably, like, the hammer scene. Because...
Which, like the party hammer scene or the vision
hammer?
Yeah,
the party scene. Because, okay. Like, just... The Chris Hemsworth reaction just, like, never gets old. To Steve, like, about to pick up the hammer. Like, he's just brimming with, like, pride and arrogance. And you just see... You see what... Like crushing, like the act of like crushing looks like on a human being's face in when he sees that hammer move, and it's beautiful. But action beat would probably be, I don't know. I like it when Scarlet Witch killed Ultron. I think that's really cool. I like that it was her who did it.
Mm-hmm. I like her line. It's just like, do you see this? This is what it's like when you killed my brother.
Yeah.
Or she says something to that effect. It was a really great line.
My favorite action beat was the piston fist. Between the Hulkbuster and the Hulk.
That was really funny. And then Hulk spits out, so he's just like, I'm sorry.
I do think they need to stop using the Hulk as the source of inter-Avenger conflict. Like they did in the first movie. But
everybody has it, but he's the one who fights them. They also had that callback to the sideway punch that he did to Thor.
Yeah.
Did they?
Well, yeah, that's what Iron Man does to him when he gets
out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, to close it out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I really like the Black Widow bike chase scene, all the way through to, like, where she is, you know, pushing the, what is it, like
the cradle?
I want to say coffin, but it's not, yeah, the cradle.
Oh,
she's pushing it out, and, like, mm-hmm. she is not, like, dropping this out right into... into the fucking airplane, like it's fucking nuts.
Like, she should be like, "Yeah, you better prepare for this."
Yeah.
So, I don't really want to ask another question, but that does remind me. Why did he keep her alive?
He was lonely.
Yeah. I mean, his
he had all his robots out.
Yeah, but he didn't have human. He didn't have human companionship.
But, that,
you know,
but they were all himself.
Have you ever tried talking to yourself? After a while, it gets really fucking lonely.
I also don't get why he killed himself, but whatever.
Yeah, that was
to prove a point.
I think that was just, like, for shock value.
Yeah, he was upgrading forms, it seemed like.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, well, for one thing, it would have made more of a difference, and he didn't look, like, basically the same, except just slightly taller. But then also, for some reason, I thought it was Iron Man coming in and just, like, putting it through him, and it would lead to another action beat.
Yeah,
I guess
that was
a little confusing.
because he's going to kill her, he kills himself, and then he stops.
That was another great scene, too, though, was when Black Widow pushes Banner off the edge.
I actually felt kind of bad for laughing at that.
It's like a... Good. I need the other guy.
Yes.
So that was fun. Anyway, it seems like we're all in agreement that, like, if you like the Avengers, you should probably go see this one as well.
Yeah, I feel like we should say that because we did.
We all really did.
That's just ripping it to shreds.
Right. Yeah, we all really did like this. Like, you know, flaws and all, this is still a pretty fun ass film.
Now, where would you guys rank it in like the top three? I think it's like probably their second best film.
That's a very hidden question. Where would you rank it in the top three?
Okay. I mean, that sounded a lot more. I think for me right now, it'd go Winter Soldier, Guardians, and Avengers 1. I don't think this beats Avengers 1. Like, maybe in some aspects, but as a whole, not entirely.
Yeah, I don't think it's better than the first Avengers, and I thought that had some issues as well, so...
Mm-hmm. I think it is only because I think I was kind of tired of Loki by the time Avengers came around, so I was like... Well,
you were tired of him by one film?
I was like, okay, like, sure, he's going to be the bad guy again, but...
I'm sorry, that sounded really rude. I'm just, confused.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know. I was enjoying the fact, at least, that this was a different villain.
Sure.
I think this would be my fifth favorite of their film. I think this is the higher end of their mid-tier films. Like, the stuff like, I guess Iron Man 3 and Captain America, the original one, like their mid-tier stuff, and then I think my top four, are like Winter Soldier, Avengers, the original Iron Man, and Guardians.
Okay, let's do it like this. For anyone, does it beat the Winter Soldier?
No.
No.
Okay, well then that's all we need to know.
Well, I guess the better question is, and I think you all, does it beat the original Avengers for you?
Oh, I would still say no. It definitely has a lot more forward momentum, but the plot doesn't entirely gel well together, and the villain, you know, like, they're kind of the same, and it's just, like, sort of marking time until, you know, there's, like, the big epic battle. Loki was more compelling, and I felt like he was being more contributing to his own villainy than Ultron, where he's just like, yo, kids, go do something for me.
But I liked how the Avengers was kind of like, we're going to get these, you know, different heroes and put them together and then show them gel. And then, like, it's this culmination of everything we've been working up to, where this is kind of like, I said earlier, it's a bridge. Mm-hmm. Like, there's more to come. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's a strong bridge, no doubt, but it's still a bridge.
Speaking of bridges and Avengers, what the hell is with them and Cockroach in Avengers Assemble?
Oh, right, that made no sense.
Well, I mean, I kind of get why they didn't do it at the end of this one, because it would have just been like, you know, Avengers, you know, like, move 6 feet so I can talk to you all. It would have worked better there, maybe.
At the end of the first film, it would have passed.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, during the battle, though.
Like, when they all form and that, they have that pan-around shot
they're saving
it for the third film.
And then,
it's going to be awesome.
And then they do it again here, where, like, even before the ending, where, like, they all kind of come together around the device, and there's nothing said. I'm like, okay, we're just not going to do this, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, why is that the money shot? Why are you holding off on that? I wanted to hear this for, like, 3 years now.
That fighting scene was fucking awesome, by the way.
I didn't think that the climax here was as compelling as the Battle of New York. And I disagree.
It was nice to have something other than New York, like, at the center.
Well, I mean, Marvel's only done New York twice.
No, but I mean, in general, it's like superheroes, you know.
I guess X-Men does New York as well.
Yeah, I mean, X-Men does New York, like, every other time. I did like that this... Like, the Sokovia was sort of like, it brought the twins home. I just wish that they had touched upon it more. And this is probably something that's in deleted scenes. Where, you know, if the twins went to their old house or something, be like, we had this life and now we're with these people. that life is gone now.
That reminds me of, I also enjoyed the scene where he's trying to kid him out the police station, and he runs back in with,
and with a gun. He's just like, get out.
Get your ass off, do some work.
Then he hands it off to like the guy who was just sitting there on the bench.
I really like that line that Captain America had, where it's just like, okay, this is our final play, get everyone out. And then he's just like, if you get hurt, walk it off. If they kill you, no. If you get hurt, get back. If you get killed, walk it off.
Yeah, there was some good dialogue in it. Fun. Anyway, yeah. Let's wrap this up. So go see Avengers. And,
just don't see it in 3D or IMAX.
Yeah. How much did you pay for that again?
$20. Well, $19.75. Might as well round up, though.
I only paid $8 for mine.
But also, it's not. It's really just nothing special about seeing it in 3D.
I didn't pay for mine, so.
You didn't pay for 3D, or you didn't pay for your ticket?
I didn't pay for my ticket.
Anyway, Pete, say goodnight.